Well, today I'll be continuing our series called The Power of God. And here's what I want you to know, and this is what this is all about, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. That there is a power inside of you that God has given us. And as followers of Jesus, we've been positioned and appointed to release the power of God through our lives. God's desire for us is that not only do we carry his power, but we release his power to the world around us. So here's what today's message is about. It's called The Power of Knowing Who You Are. The power of knowing who you are. I believe this, that God can release greater power through people who understand who they are, who really know who they are, especially when we talk about knowing who we are in Jesus. But here's the challenge, that there's a lot of people that don't really understand fully who they are in Jesus. We've been saved by Jesus. We've been forgiven by Jesus. But for many, we don't understand who we are in Jesus, who Jesus has called us to be. And so I believe this, that knowing who we are is so important if we're going to release the power of God. Now, 2020 was the year for most of us that our world got turned upside down, I'd say, didn't it? I mean, all sorts of things came in with the COVID crisis. I call it the great COVID lockdown. And for me, to add insult to injury, many of you know this, but I was hurt in a car accident that August. It was kind of like, wow, man, this year has already been crazy. Boom, got in a car accident. I was sitting at a stoplight with my kids in the car. It was on a Sunday night. I still remember it was like it's 8 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, boom, from behind me, a car hit me. Now, we found out later on the car was going about 60 or 70 kilometers per hour. The person was, texting on their phone and ran into the back of our car. Well, for a few moments, I didn't understand why I was now from park position in the middle of the intersection. I was just not, my car was not completely into the middle of the intersection. Very busy part of our town. I was on Glenmore Trail and Barlow Trail. There's just a lot of activity that's going on there. And I remember as I was sitting there that my head was ringing, and I was like, where am I? What am I doing here? Who am I? And for a few minutes, what seemed like an hour, I couldn't remember who I was. It was like my brain was in a fog. Have you ever had your brain where it's just like you're completely in a fog? Maybe you're one of those people that every once in a while, you wake up in the middle of the night because you had such a great sleep, and you're like, where am I at? And all of a sudden it takes you, okay, I'm in my bed. Oh, good, that's my room, my house. Well, in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, who here is a Lord of the Rings fan? There's a character named King Theoden of Rohan. And in the story, when we first meet King Theoden of Rohan, we observe that he is bewitched and under the influence of a dark character by the name of Grima Wormtongue. I mean, the name just tells you that this is a bad dude. And as Grima Wormtongue continues to whisper deceit and lies into the ears of King Theoden, his judgment becomes clouded, and his authority becomes neutralized. Why? Because of the lies and deception. He's clueless and almost powerless that his kingdom is about to be defeated and destroyed. He's out of it. He doesn't remember who he is. Why? Because of the deception, he becomes unaware of who he is. That he is a king, that he is the king of Rohan, a mighty and powerful people. You see, the first step to walking in our divine power is to fully understand who we are in Jesus. That God has designed each one of us to be great, and for us to release his power wherever we go. You see, we live in a world where people do not know who they are. In fact, I believe there's a great identity crisis that is going on all around us, where people are being attacked both inwardly and outwardly in society. Where do we see this? Well, there's some things that maybe we don't look at it this way. And again, I'm not here to become critical of things or to challenge things, but I want you to understand what's going on from the enemy side of things. We have people who are being pressed to apologize because of their race or their gender. We see that, don't we? Like, well, you're not supposed to think this way or do these things because of who you are. We see a generation that is struggling with gender confusion. We see it. We have the age-old challenge of people trying to do whatever it takes to fit in, regardless of what it costs them personally. You see, all of these things are an attack on people's identity. Am I a man? We can get into, well, do we love people? We love all people, but there is an attack on people's true identity, who God designed them to be. I got to just tell you this. This is the truth of God's word. And we see many who see themselves as victims instead of victors. And it's a strategic, you have to understand this, it is a strategic plot and plan from the enemy to put people at war with themselves so that they do not recognize themselves. Because the enemy understands this. If people really know who they are, that they'll be able to use the authority that God has given them against him and his kingdom. Come on, I'm giving you truth here today. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to know who you are. And I want to tell you today that you are mighty, you are powerful, you have great authority because you were created in the image of God. So, who are we then? Who are we really to be in Christ? If that's not where we're at, who has God created you and I to be? Well, if you want to know the purpose for something, it's important to hear from the designer or the creator of it, right? Like if I want to know what my cell phone is, I should have brought it up here with me, and I want to know how it's supposed to really work, and I want to know what's going on. Again, for a lot of you, are like, Pastor Todd, we've had these phones for a long time. But if you really want to know the ins and outs of it, isn't it important to know wouldn't it be good to know from the person who created it what he intended it to be or what she intended it to be? And I believe this, if you cannot talk directly to the designer or the creator, you go to the owner's manual. And in our owner's manual, the Bible, God shares who we are as humans and what he has designed us to do. And we're going to go back to the very, very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. God tells us who we are and what he's called us to do. And here's what it says in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Listen to this. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." The us is the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, "They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." So here's what we got to take out of this, that we were created in God's image, that we were created to be like him in our heart and in the way that we see things, the way that we think, that we were created like him in his image, both male and female. But God also gave us four purposes that he talks about here of what he's called us to do, because if we know who we are, then it tells us what we're called to do. First of all, God created us for this, for relationship. That first of all, we're called to have a relationship with God. Now I say this, God designed us to have a relationship with us, not dictatorship. You know what's so interesting why God chose that? Because who here knows that if God wanted to, he could have just said, "You will follow me. You will love me. You will serve me." He could have done that. He was the creator, but he chose us to walk in relationship with him. Why? One, we have to choose to be in relationship. Because he's already chosen to be in relationship with us. He wants us to choose him back. He wants us to say, you know what? He says, "Look, I love you. I want you to love me." I want us to have this relationship where we choose to fellowship with each other. Secondly, he created us to be in relationship with each other, that we are called to walk together as human beings in unity and harmony. He wants us to walk together. Why? Because when we walk together in unity and harmony, the Bible says, Psalms 133, he cannot help but release his power and his blessing to us. Amen? So God's called us to walk together with him and to walk together with other people. Secondly, he called us, and I'm doing some alliteration here, first to relationship. Secondly, for reflection. What are we to reflect? We're to reflect the nature and character of God, who he is. Designed to reflect the nature of God to the world around us. If you want, people need to see more of who Jesus is. How do they do it? Through the way that we live our lives. And God's saying, I want you to be like me. I'm full of love. I'm full of joy. I'm full of compassion. I'm full of grace. I'm full of mercy. I'm full of kindness. God wants us to extend that to people around them. Why? Because then we are walking in his image, in his presence. We're showing his nature. We're called to make his nature our nature. Thirdly, here's the third R, we're called for reproduction, that we're called to reproduce. Well, what are we called to reproduce? Some people are like, okay, is it going to be one of those messages? Pastor Todd, it's not February yet. We haven't got into Valentine's Day. No, no, no. We're talking about the fact that God desires to have a bigger family. He wants more people like him. He wants us to produce more children in his image. How? Through evangelism and discipleship, that we're called to share with people the good news of who Jesus is, that he's there for them, that he loves them, that he wants a relationship with them. I want to tell people that are here today, if you don't know Jesus, Jesus loves you. He wants you to become part of his family. And the way that we do that is through embracing the fact that he died for us and that he loves us and he cares for us and he's forgiven us. That's what he wants us to do. You see, it's not only accepting Jesus, but it's learning to live like Jesus. You see, I think God is like the parent that keeps pestering their kids. Where's those grandkids at? You know, sometimes I heard God talking to me this year. He's like, you know, I want to see some grandkids. Where are those grandbabies at? You know, some of you are like, could you just leave me alone? And I want to say this. I know that I'm sharing this. It can be hard for some of you who are struggling to have children. I want you to know we're praying for you. We're believing God for you. That those things that people can put pressure on you are difficult. But I hear God saying, we have the ability to be those who are used to see other people come into his kingdom. Here's the fourth thing, and we're gonna spend more time on this as we go farther into the message. Not only has he called us to for relationship, not only has he designed us to reflect his character, not only has he called us to reproduce, but he wants us to rule and reign with him. That we're called to rule and reign, not just in heaven, but on this earth. We were designed to rule over the earth. You see it here. He says, you're to rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, all of this. God gave the earth for us to rule with him over it. A lot of people don't understand this. You see, we're called to establish what belongs and doesn't belong in our own life, in our hearts. We're designed to rule and reign over our homes, in our communities, that we're to push out darkness and bring in his light. Amen? That we're called to release righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We're called to occupy and influence high places. I believe that we're called to be leaders in government and education and entertainment. And I could go on and on. God has called us to be leaders. Whatever he's gifted you with, God wants you to use it for his kingdom and glory, to expand the kingdom of God wherever you're at. I believe that when we're in our work environments, we're called to bring God's presence and glory wherever we go, ruling and reigning with him. You see, we have to understand this is what he's called us to do. And so in order to understand this, we got to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. So I've given you a foundation. And so the question is, who are you? How do we know who we are? How can we see whether we're actually doing this on the earth? I wrote down here, one of the most sought after form of identifications for a teenager is their driver's license, right? Who remembers that day? Now, I know I was a youth pastor here for 17 years, and it amazed me sometimes who the kids that were like, I don't care if I get my license, got good transportation, all this, that's awesome. But when I was growing up, man, by the time you were 16, that was like the first thing you were running to do is get that driver's license so that you could drive a car. Now, not only does the holder of a driver's license have the freedom to drive a car, but it's also proof of who you are. It shows where you live, whether you're old enough whether you're old enough or belong in certain establishments. We're not going to talk about that today. It's a means for people who do not know you, they're able to verify that you are who you say that you are. Now, when Jan and I had been dating for a few months, I asked her to see her driver's license. You know, that's, can I see your driver's license? Now, I know for a lot of people, they're like, I don't like my driver's license picture. It's not something that we like. But that's not what my intention was. No, it's not because I had forgotten who she was, but I needed some important information. You guys, I think, are going to like this. The reality was I couldn't remember when her birthday was. And I knew it was coming soon. I knew I was in the right vicinity of when her birthday was. And so I thought I was being sly. I thought I was being tricky. I was like, hey, can I see your license here? I just want to check some things out. You know, I thought I was going to be able to get that information. Well, the truth is she busted me. She caught me. She figured it out. She's like, you didn't remember my birth. And I was like, I know. And she identified me as a sneak. And I got caught. You see, either we will gain our identity in God through Jesus, or we will create a new or fake identity. You see, we have a lot of people today that are not understanding who they are in Jesus, and so they're trying to create another idea. They're trying to impress people with what they have, the way that they live, who they know, who they belong to. But I believe that if we don't build our identity through Jesus, we will live at a much lower level and with less power than God has intended for us. So who are we in Jesus? I want to get some things specifically the Holy Spirit wanted me to show you, as we know that God intended for us to do this. Well, who are we in Jesus today? What are some things? And I think this is really going to help you. First of all, I want to give you four things that we are in Jesus. First of all, I want you to know this, that you are chosen. Jesus chose you. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are not like that. Listen to this. So he's talking about, you're not like that. Like what? He was talking about people that were unholy. They were living their lives for themselves. He said, but you're not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Listen to that. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. You know, when I was in grade school, we used to play a lot of games at recess. And so part of the way we do this is we'd pick teams, and you'd start out first by choosing captains, right? Who's going to be the captain? I know that sometimes we're a lot more diplomatic these days, but it used to be the same people seemed to be the captains all the time back then. And then they would pick who do I want on my team? You know, who's going to be on my team? And nobody ever wanted to be the last pick. You know, that was always a terrible feeling, a terrible place to be in. You know, I feel like many times in life we can feel like we're the last pick. We can go through things where we, even in our sight of ourselves, we feel like maybe we're not very significant. But I want you to know this, according to the Word of God, this is who you are in Jesus. You have been carefully selected. You've been chosen. I know I've shared this a bit here. You've been chosen to be on the earth, in this city, in the family you are, for such a time as this. You've been handpicked. The Bible says here that you are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And I believe this, that you've been picked to represent Jesus and set apart for a special purpose and task. You've been set apart to be holy. You see, true holiness releases greater power, or allows us to carry greater power. I believe this, that God has called each one of us to carry his glory or power wherever we go, even into places of darkness. So the first thing I want you to know is that you are chosen. Some of you need to hear that today. Secondly, in Christ, this is a big one, you are righteous. You are righteous. Ephesians 4:24 says, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's important to know that not only through Jesus have we been forgiven, but we are now clean. We are now been righteous. One of the greatest deceptions that the enemy plays on people is that he reminds us of our failures and shortcomings all the time. That's one of his greatest old plays in the book that he does, is he reminds you that, man, you're not good, you're not a failure. You know, how do I know this? Well, what happens when you go to worship God? What happens when you go to pray? What happens when you feel good about things? There's always that voice that's trying to whisper in your ear that you didn't do this good, or you had a bad attitude here, or you did things that you shouldn't have. You see, when we repent, we return from our selfish and sinful ways and surrender to Jesus, we become righteous. We have to understand this. Or I can put it this way, we put on his righteousness or right standing before God. You see, when we understand that we are righteous and that we stand in righteousness, it releases great power. Listen to this. We have to understand why this is important. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Here's what I want you to know. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. When we pray from a righteous position, it releases great power and produces results. It is the key to answer prayer. I believe that if we see ourselves as righteous, we will see more prayer being answered in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, he doesn't want you to pray except from a place of righteousness because it releases his power. Hallelujah. You are chosen. You are righteous. Here's the third thing. You are family. Oh. John 1:12. But to all who believed him and accepted them, he became the right to become children of God. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. Let that sink in for a second. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. That is significant. That is incredibly powerful. You see, I say this as our creator, God could have related to us in whatever capacity he wanted to. He could have just started off and said, no, I don't want to start with father, I'm your king. And God is the king. He is the king. But he says, I relate to you. Or he could have said, I'm your lord or your dictator. But what God says, he chose to call us family. He chose to be our father. Now, as a son or daughter, you have different privileges over a guest or a visitor. We know that in our houses. And I say this, even if I love you. If you came over to my house and opened my fridge, I would think that was a bit weird. You know, if I just walked in and was like, hey, let's see what we got in here today, that's awesome. Now, some of you would be like, that'd be kind of cool, but some of you would be like, that's really strange. Now, listen to this. If you decided to use the bathroom in my bedroom, I would be concerned. Like, man, you're just kind of wandering through. But you know what? If you're my child, my son or my daughter, man, they don't worry about asking. They open the fridge. They open the cupboard. Even when we tell them not to, they still do it. And they use whatever bathroom they need to use. Why? Because they're part of my family. They understand that they're my kids and that they know that pretty much everything around the house really is for them. My kids don't need to ask me for permission to grab a snack now they're older. They can, in fact, sometimes they even grab the clothes out of my closet. See, we have to remember this, that everything, listen to this, that God has is available to us because we are his children. He desires to bless you with good gifts. He wants you to use what he's provided. Everything he has is intended for you. Why? Because he loves you fully and completely. There's not a more genuine love than that the Father has for each of us. And it's important that we believe this, that we capture this. He sent Jesus, his only son, to die so that we could have that relationship with us. And then he adopts us. He has a spirit of adoption. He says, look, you're now part of my family. You're my sons, my daughters. I want you to know that I'm here for you. I love you. And what I have is for you. It's for you to use it. Lastly, I want you to know this as well, because of who you're the son or daughter of, you are royalty. You are royalty. I go back to 1 Peter 2:9, and I'm going to close with this if Sam wants to come up here. It says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. In Romans 8:17, it says, well, you are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that we have a legacy and a lineage that is tied to King Jesus. Because we are related to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, his royal blood flows through our veins. Hallelujah. We are royalty as kings and queens. Now, here's what we have to understand. Why is it important to understand that we're kings and queens? Not only sons and daughters, but kings and queens. Because what that means is kings and queens have authority. They have a kingdom. And I believe God's desire is that we are called to bring his kingdom from heaven down to earth. That we have kingdom authority. It is now our birthright or rebirthright to rule and reign with Jesus. You see, you are commissioned today. I want you to hear this. You are commissioned today to use Jesus' authority. That's why it's so important for you to know who you are in Christ Jesus. When we submit ourselves to the authority of God, we are free to release the kingdom of God here on earth. We bind, we loose, we release, we stop through our declarations that our words have power. We're going to talk about the power of our words next week. You are a powerful person. You reflect the image of God. His spirit and nature is in here, in you. And I declare this today. You are a person of high impact in Jesus' name. Come on, I feel like everything over this last season of life has tried to push people down. It's tried to diminish us. It's tried to make us feel small and insignificant. And by the power of the Word of God, I'm declaring over you that you are called to walk with Jesus Christ, and he's given you power. Why? Because you've been chosen. You've been chosen by him for such a time as this. I say to you again that you are righteous, that your righteousness is not based on your own actions, your own abilities, but it's because of what Jesus has done for you, and that we put on his righteousness. And because we're righteous, when we pray, it moves the heart and the hand of God. Thirdly, your family. You're not just a speck on the planet. You're not just a one in the billions and billions that have lived, but you are a son or daughter of the Most High God. And he loves you. And everything he has is for you. He just wants you to understand that your security comes from knowing him. Some of us have battled with insecurity. Why? Because we don't understand who we are in Jesus. And lastly, your royalty. And I could have listed 10 more things. But you are a king, a queen in the hand of God, and you carry great authority. Don't let anybody ever tell you something different. Don't let anybody try to tell you that you're insignificant. Don't let anybody try to put upon you something that you're not, because this is who God's called you to be. And if we truly believe this, we're going to see more of the power of God released in our lives and in our church. Today, I break off false identities. You are no longer weak, but you're strong in the name of God. You're no longer rejected, but you are fully loved today. You are not insignificant. You are powerful. You are mighty. You are no longer alone, because now you belong.